Hello and welcome to yet another edition of HRTech.sg's Tech Talks, where we talk to subject matter experts on all aspects in the realm of HR and HR technology. Very glad to welcome Carmen V, C-suite HR leader with over 24 years of international business experience to our edition today. She's got hands-on exposure in driving large-scale business transformation and change management for large global enterprises. She's been driving digital HR transformation at the national level with the Institute for Human Resource Professionals in Singapore, contributing immensely to the national HR certification movement, leading to the conferment of the Pioneer Master Level certification by the Singapore government. She's also a board member of HTX under the Ministry of Home Affairs, Government of Singapore, Republic Polytechnic School of Management, and the IHRP Digital and Tech Committee. Recently, she released her first book titled From the Kampung to the Boardroom, My Leadership Journey. So today we would be talking to her about the changing role of the human resource function and glean more insights from her latest book. Thank you very much for joining us today, Carmen.
Thank you, Shivram. Pleased to be here.
Fantastic. Let me straight jump into the question on your key motive behind your latest book. And we want to know, get some key insights that you have talked about in the book. Provide us a quick glimpse of the book.
Sure, thank you very much. I think back in 2020, I started to think about my career, which actually spanned more than two decades. And at the end of 2021, I felt like I had a story to tell. And we are in a very, very critical and very interesting and disruptive phase in our HR industry globally, not just in Singapore. And I decided to actually put together my story in the form of a book, having worked in countries, having worked in companies of all sizes with varying levels of complexities. And I felt that in a pandemic, well, who really wants to read a textbook? And there are not many books out there, you know, that will capture and demystify, right, an HR leader's career. So I took a risk and decided to write a book about my own story and to relate that to current trends. And, you know, based on feedback that different friends have given me, I, you know, after chapter one, I went on to chapter two. And after that, you know, the book was born, you know, in December of 2021. So I'm quite happy with the baby, you know, it's been delivered. And I've received feedback from across the spectrum. And of course, you know, there's a lot to learn when one publishes a book. But I'm happy to come onto your show to just share a little bit about, I would say, you know, some of the key lessons that I've learned.
Perfect. What are the key takeaways from the book for the readers, Carmen?
I would say if I look at my own career and relate back to, you know, what I've seen in the past, having gone through, you know, a few decades of the evolution of HR, and also, you know, looking with a forward view, right, in terms of what the function would be, I would say there are at least three things, right? First of all, the importance of your own values as an HR leader, right? Your core is what defines you as an HR leader because, you know, we are, you know, a people function and we look at all the aspects of, you know, human development, right? And in the context of either a profit or not-for-profit enterprise, right? Or even in a government setup. So we want to be very, very authentic and honest in how we actually treat people. And, you know, it's good that the function has evolved so that we are very, very mindful of, you know, how people are treated and with respect and all that. But if you as an HR leader has a very strong core, then you are able to, I think, withstand the pressure, right, to either be populist or to be, you know, to hard-nosed, right? I mean, you know, with regards to the business, you are able to, I think, strike that balance. So I think that's very important. And especially in, you know, situations where it's unethical or where it's questionable, I think, you know, you and I have read careers of, you know, some HR leaders who have lost their roles because they were not able to, you know, stand up to scrutiny because they didn't handle a particular discrimination, workplace discrimination challenge well, or they, you know, were seen to have been dishonest in how, you know, they treated, right, their employees, or at least enabling management to do that. So I think, you know, it all boils down to your values. And if you are an authentic leader and you are clear about your core and what's really important, there would be certain parameters that you will not go beyond. I would say the second, key takeaway is the need for, transition management as a skill, right, as a personal skill. I think I've gone through different transitions in my career from, a country, regional, global role, and then in different industries, I've gone through many HR leaders. I think I've worked for 30, 40 HR leaders in my career, and, I've gone through several big M&As, reverse takeovers, restructuring. I think it is as colorful as, it could get, right? But the ability to really manage the transition on a personal basis is very important. Always, have a strong self-belief in your, efficacy, right? That your skills are relevant, or at least you keep your skills relevant. And always be very positive about who you are and what you bring to the table and to the teams. And also try to be, a positive force for good, right, in whichever sphere that we are contributing in, whether it's in our company, in our enterprise, or in our, government, opportunities, or in some of the not-for-profit, I would say initiatives, right, that I've been able to participate in. So bring, I would say, the mindset that we can, make a difference wherever we go. I would say the third key takeaway is the need to be willing to step out of, our comfort zone all the time. It is almost a necessary competency. I think even if you choose not to, the business that you partner with will require you to do that. And I, I'm aware of people who have lost their jobs because, they were not able to pivot very quickly or to make that shift very quickly. Maybe they talk too much about the PowerPoint slides and, the high level concepts, right? But they are not really relevant, or they're not able to straddle between strategy and execution. So if one is able to step out of the comfort zone all the time, it's really not about what I think or what, the theory says all the time, but really, bringing my thought leadership in a very practical way so that it will really add value to the business. So these are the key, three key takeaways. And of course, it requires a lot of self-awareness, self-reflection, and that willingness to invest in one's development. So I put aside, money to attend courses, get certified. In fact, I've just completed my master's program, in an area called OD, right? OD and leadership, which is, really my areas of interest and expertise.
Fantastic. A lot of takeaways indeed. It's important for you to be authentic, honest, ethical, be a positive force for good, step out of the comfort zone all the time, and most importantly, willingness to invest in one's own self. And that's a great segue to the second question that I had, Carmen. The HR teams and the HR leaders have a difficult role to play. They need to upskill, reskill themselves, and also upskill and reskill the organization. So I do know that you are a passionate, lifelong learner. So can you highlight to us what are the key things that you do to ensure that you're always at the leading edge of the market? What do you do?
So I learn from the best, or at least I try to learn from the best. I think now that, we have social media and a lot of stuff available on the web, right? So I sign up with a lot of blogs. I sign up with all the, latest cutting edge thinkers on, our profession, and also, on the business side of things. So I subscribe, right? I mean, at least sign up to read a variety of, business news, current affairs that span everything from business, marketing, finance, economics, and even now, there's a lot more on sustainability and even, I would say, innovation, right? Everything in the tech world, I sign up for it. And also in the industrial world around how they are evolving to catch up, right, with the impact of digitalization. So some of the big clusters would also involve, thinkers like, of course, Dave Ulrich and, Jason Averbuch, and definitely Josh Bersin, right? But I like to listen to social psychologists, so Adam Grant, Brené Brown. I'm social work trained, so, Brené Brown was also a professor in social work school. So I find that everything that I've learned in social work school has also been very helpful in dealing with the crisis and the health crisis right now. I would say that, you know, I am always on lookout for some of the best and leading edge, you know, leadership practices, because I have an inherent interest in challenging myself to be a better leader today, you know, than yesterday and tomorrow, right? Going forward, I like things that have to do with team dynamics and how to build stronger, better, you know, unusual teams. And, you know, I don't just read just stuff that's local. I like to read anything that's global. So in, you know, maybe some hidden markets, right, that have not quite emerged yet, like Africa, you know, or even parts of Europe, okay, where they are going to be, you know, more and more important. So several years ago, you know, things like Ireland and all that, those are, you know, Estonia, right? Those are places where, you know, the tech world was actually emerging. So I love anything that's hidden and unusual and creative and alternative. So hopefully that will lead to a bit of, you know, edginess around, you know, some of the emerging trends that could come from some markets that one does not expect. It's not just the, you know, the Western world that has a monopoly on knowledge and the latest practices. I observe a lot of China as well. Anything that's coming out of China, I try to keep up to it. And, you know, I have a lifelong fascination with China. So last year I did a family legacy book. So the other book that I wrote was actually the family legacy book, where I trace back 5 generations and, you know, my family goes back to Xiamen in China. And how, you know, my grandparents, they were born and bred here, but how we have, you know, that link back to China. So it explains my surname, Wei in Chinese is Huang. So it goes back all the way, you know, to our original heritage, how the Chinese surname came about. So I love anything that's history. And, you know, as I've mentioned in other forums, you know, I encourage all the HR people to read as broadly as possible and as deeply as possible in some topics, so that you are an interesting person to talk to, you know. Yeah.
That's very important. So the key highlights on how you keep yourself on the cutting edge and the learning edge is definitely you learn from the best. Having worked with 30-40 HR leaders, definitely I think a great repository of learning from them. You read and listen to a lot of podcasts of not just HR folks, but social psychologists, not just local, but global markets. Read as broadly as possible, right? Right from China to the Western world to history. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Carmen, for highlighting on those. It's very important that we diversify our knowledge so that we can actually value add to the business, right? And that's the next question that I have. We see very few CHROs actually having a seat at the decision-making table. It's very rare to see people like you who have been the head of HR, the CHRO, being a board member and being at the being in the boardroom and making a decision, right? What do you think needs to be done to ensure that we have more CHROs seated in the decision-making table?
I think we need to raise up, you know, a greater generation of business CHROs that's able to partner with the business. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron, you know, partner with the business. But here's the thing, right? That there are many kinds of HR leaders out there, and we are very comfortable sometimes in our own HR world. We speak the HR language, and that is well and good. But a lot of it has to do with the context, right? And the context that we operate in for most of us is really the business context. And so if you are not adding value to the business agenda by way of any growth efforts, transformation efforts, any M&A, any you know, high impact activities that are able to solve business problems, right? Either on the shop floor or at, you know, the office level, then I think, you know, the business will think that you are really just, you know, a program manager, right? Or you have your HR fluff where, okay, you know, I mean, DEIB is good, but well, we need to get on with the business, right? If I, you know, have a problem around, you know, workforce compliance in some factories, or if I have some, you know, high attrition in China, because a lot of the tech people are leaving us, right, to join you know, the local startups, then how do we actually bring to bear, right, our expertise? So one has to be extremely cognizant of how one delivers value, the way value is valued by the business. It's really not about us, but it's really about, you know, and so therefore, you know, if one as an HR leader is very comfortable with articulating the business, understanding the impact of what we do and the goals that we are setting, you know, with the business for our HR function is integrated into the business success, then I think there's a higher chance that, you know, one will be more relevant, right? At the same time, I think, you know, given everything else that we've been talking about, the impact of digitalization, I think everybody gets it, right? And sometimes, you know, we can go on and on, right, to talk about our pet topics, but really, you know, coming from the angle of our audience is very important. So more listening, more observing, more watching and more doing, talk only when necessary. And when you talk, better make sure that whatever you say is of value. Otherwise, we can go on talking, you know, about our own pet topics, which have no relevance, right? Because I think we're still living through the pandemic. There are a lot of urgent, critical issues that, you know, the business is facing. I think, you know, we know that employee engagement and retention is very, very key. And more as inflation becomes a major issue this year globally, a lot of, you know, enterprises are looking to shift either to low-cost locations, right, opening up new markets in Asia, and also, you know, changing the mix, right, of their, you know, operations so that it moves to more low-cost, you know, positions, even low-cost locations, even in, you know, either the Americas or Europe. So we need to be able to help them to make those shifts, right, mitigating the people impact and yet also making sure that the company does not appear in the news for the wrong reasons, right? So doing, you know, all the exits compassionately and, you know, setting a new standard, right? Sometimes in the industry around some of these practices. So again, to my point about transition management, yeah, it's very key, not just, you know, for our own personal career, but also to enable the enterprise to do that. Because with such a social media, you know, high world, whatever you do, positively or negatively, it can really cut both ways. So as an HR leader, you want to make sure your brand is represented effectively and, you know, the workforce globally is looking at your company brand in a positive way so that even if you have to exit employees, you do it in a very compassionate way and you are also growing as well to attract, you know, the necessary skill sets. So if I were to reflect back 20 years ago versus now, when, you know, there was that internet boom, right, and that bust that went on, I think what is really the difference right now is there's so much hype on social media right now. And, you know, it can be a very divisive world out there. And all that you do, everything that you do on the HR front, directly or indirectly, is being scrutinized. So as an HR leader, you got to be extremely agile in how you manage some of these, I would say, you know, brand impact of what you do and also your brand image and the company reputation. And you want it to not come back to bite you, you know, just even months down the road when you start to rehire again. So this year, companies will, you know, make the shifts in terms of their workforce mix, you know, change some of their strategies to enable growth, but yet, you know, quickly capitalize, right, on some of the growth opportunities in some of their key markets. And HR is right in the center of it, you know, even though we are managing a pandemic that is trying to become endemic, but that will be, you know, that ongoing journey.
Fantastic. So definitely we need to raise a greater generation of business CHROs, and we need to articulate and integrate the HR success to business success. You know, yes, that you mentioned was really critical. Whatever the HR team does, we need to ensure that there is a strong business outcome, as you rightly highlighted. And finally, to manage the corporate and individual brand image in a volatile market is very, very essential. And I think HR has to essentially do that. So in fact, when we talk to clients, when they talk about the HR function as a cost function or as a support function, we always say it's a business enabling function. That's a key differentiator in the way that they look at the HR function. Thank you very much on that, Carmen. One of the key things that we believe is technology and analytics are required by HR teams to ensure the HR teams are seen as a strategic business partner. So tell us about how technology and analytics have helped you in your CHRO roles and in as a board member.
I would say if I look at the evolution over the last few decades, I saw very quickly in my career that you got to present data and facts and figures, you know, to the business, right? So at one point, I remember about 10 years ago, I was doing a brief to our global CEO and I gave him so many statistics and numbers that he said, hey, you know, you don't talk like an HR person anymore. But here's the point that I'm trying to make, right? That, you know, it is really the next phase of our evolution in using, you know, technology and data analytics. And I've worked in tech companies over the last two decades. We have many, many tools. I started to use Zoom actually back in 2017 to interview candidates. And back in 2017 as well, I started to use HireVue, you know, as a tool because we were hiring, you know, a CMB leader. And that was a quite interesting tool because, you know, the candidates were supposed to video themselves, you know, for the questions, right, that we had, you know, inserted into the tool beforehand. And I think over the last few years, you know, there's been 200-300 HR startups, right, in Singapore and globally. I mean, you know, with the you know, the evolution of big ERP tools like, or HCM tools, right? During my time, it was called ERP, right? I mean, now it's called HCM, you know, of the work days and the success factors of, you know, today. I think, you know, the need for data has not gone away. In fact, it has accelerated, right? So up until, you know, I would say recent past, I was trying to also, you know, before the pandemic, I was trying to look at some online, you know, coaching tool that could be scaled globally that would maybe have the price of just one Starbucks coffee a month, you know, from a subscription standpoint, because, you know, coaching is really the lever that we use, right, to create that difference between the employer and, you know, the employee relationship. I was also looking at things like telemedicine, right, way before the pandemic. So, you know, I was experimenting with some of these things. So, you know, my point is, you know, I'm so glad that the pandemic has actually demonstrated that these tools are so useful. And, you know, going forward, right, if you ask me, I mean, what kind of tools I would like to use, I think, you know, Adrian, some of these, you know, tech influencers has done such a terrific job. And, you know, your company has also put together that, you know, that roadmap, right, for some of the tech solutions. More and more, you know, that whole strategy, implementation, acceleration, tools like that, right, would really be of value to companies. To help them to understand, right, the progress of, you know, to measure the progress of their implementation efforts against some of the goals that's been set in the strategy. And, you know, many times we hear, you know, the strategy is, it's a, you know, just several, maybe a thick pile of, you know, PowerPoint slides, but the rest of the company may not understand the strategy. So tools like, you know, that enable, I think, strategy, deployment, understanding and measurement and, you know, and the progress around it will be key for businesses looking to scale and really, you know, especially global companies, okay, rather than just to measure, you know, the once a year performance appraisal or to, you know, manage the whole strategy through some of the spreadsheets. The second piece that I would say that is of value will be the ones that help you know, your companies to increase the productivity of your employees, okay? So as with, you know, a lot of companies, if they are able to cut, right, so less are going to be dealing with much, much more. So how are they going to increase the productivity, especially in the pandemic, where you either have a, you know, hybrid workforce or some people are still kept, you know, at home, right, in some places. So how do you actually, you know, have tools that enable, you know, that massive productivity ramp up? I think those will be the kinds of tools that companies would be extremely keen in. Now, one of the key learning points that I have, right, in using data and analytics, you know, with leadership, right, is around the business case and the importance of having to provide options, okay, around some of the business case, right? Whether, you know, it be trying to propose an idea and then, you know, letting leadership also make the choice around a few options. I think it's important for us to be able to think broad, right, about some of the business challenges that some of our business may face and the solutions that they're expecting out of HR, so that we are, you know, a bit thoughtful, right, around some of the choices that, you know, we are presenting to them. So going forward, I would say that, you know, this wave will not stop. In fact, it will accelerate a lot more. And therefore, the ability to really be comfortable, you know, with tech, and not just being comfortable with tech, but being able to deploy it in a way that really adds business value, you know, will be absolutely vital and critical. If one is looking to, you know, ride on this wave so that, you know, one's HR career has longevity, I think this is an absolute non-negotiable skill to have. Hope that answers your question. Yeah.
Thank you, Carmen. Absolutely. Data-driven approach and tech-centric skills are two important skills that have really been highlighted in all global surveys when people are talking about the future HR skills. So definitely we do believe, you know, when someone like you has used people analytics 10 years back, definitely it would have been really path breaking. So, I mean, you've really been a true role model for a lot of HR teams in Singapore of adopting technology and analytics really way ahead of time. Thank you for that. So with that, we come to the final question. Really want your parting advice for HR leaders and also budding HR managers. What would be your advice to them?
I think it's a great time to be in HR right now. Mm-hmm. And I will come from two perspectives, okay? If you've been doing HR the same old way the last, I'll say 10 years, the last 5 years, then I think you really need to look at, you know, your new toolkit and skill set, because you could be at risk of, you know, losing your role if you're not careful to prepare for the future. Because it's not going to be the same old again. And in fact, it's going to, you know, be a very, very challenging time to really differentiate, right, the big boys and girls in HR that's going to lead the charge and those who are being left behind because of their outmoded skills, okay? And I would like to, you know, make a pitch that hopefully Singaporean companies will catch up with some of the best HR practices so that they will also hire, you know, some of the best HR people there to really help them to make that change. But if you are in the other camp where you've kept your skills updated, you are, you know, on the leading edge, you are constantly reflecting on how you can add value to the business, then I say, hey, good news, okay? Because if you continue to be courageous, if you continue to be hungry, and you continue to be distinctive, be very confident that, you know, some of the best paying or the top paying jobs in HR will come to you, and you will be able to have, you know, a more, I would say, you know, a more successful trajectory, you know, from a career perspective. So, you know, don't stay in your comfort zone. Keep pushing, keep learning, as I've mentioned in my book, and have, you know, career mentors and coaches to help you to navigate through some of the difficult, you know, situations that you face at work, whether you are an emerging HR or you are mid-career, or even if you are a very senior leader. I mean, at any one time, I mean, I have coaches, I have mentors, you know, that I turn to. I don't claim to know everything, neither, you know, am I, you know, confident to say I've arrived. I have not, right? You know, everybody's going on a journey, and hopefully, you know, we find the people that will be able to go along this journey with us.
Fantastic, Carmen. You truly have been a role model, CHRO, for all of us, ensuring that you really step out of the comfort zone, being ethical, honest, and doing everything possible to ensure that there is a strong business outcome, being the strategic business leader that we are talking about. Truly a great time to be in the HR function. Thank you very much for being on our edition today. We really look forward to hosting you in the subsequent sessions too.
Thank you, Shivam. Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen.